Welcome to Sound Doctrine. We're completing the sixth week of our studies in the doctrine of the church. This week our focus has been upon the ordinances and the worship of the church. In the first three sessions we looked at the question of foot washing, whether or not that is a legitimate ordinance for the church today, and then also baptism and the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table. Now, in the last session, we began to examine the nature of worship. Today, we're going to look at specifics that are given in the New Testament for the worship of the church. Again, we base our studies on the truth that the church and Israel are two separate entities, as it were. The church is the body of Christ. Israel, the Jewish people, are God's special people for a special purpose. He gave them a system of worship under the Mosaic law, and that they were to fulfill and carry out specifically. And when, as we saw in the previous broadcast, when they did not, judgment came upon them. We've also seen that judgment comes upon the members of the church when they do not do that which the Lord commanded. So are there specifics for worship in the New Testament, or is worship just whatever feels good to you? Well, again, in the previous broadcast, we saw that worship is what God says it is, not what men say it is. And God has given us not only the foundation for worship, as we saw, but now also certain specifics that are involved in the worship of the local assembly. So let's pray together and we'll start today's study. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word to us concerning all things that are necessary for spiritual life, and that includes the worship of the assembly, the local church. And so, our Father, would you grant us wisdom as we look to the word of God today, and may Christ be exalted. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in Acts chapter 2, we see the foundation of the church on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls are added to the church, and what do they do assembled together? And it's doubtful that they, as all 3,000, assembled together at the same time in the same place, because they did not have big auditoriums. They did, however, since this began in Jerusalem, have the temple precincts, and since they were all Jews, they had access to those temple precincts. They may have met together in totality there on occasion, but we read elsewhere in Acts, speaking of this same first church, the church at Jerusalem, that they met from house to house. And so probably these smaller groups, we're not talking about six or seven people for Bible study, we're talking about households where they could meet in the household compound, and there would have been probably a small, what today would be considered a small assembly, 50, 100 people could get together in these places and worship. What did they do when they assembled together? Well, verse 42 of Acts chapter 2 tells us. It says they were continually devoting themselves to, and follows a list of things that they did. They were continually, this is something that didn't happen once in a while on a big holiday or something, but they were continually devoting themselves. The words here are very strong and indicate that this was not only a repeated practice, but was something that they were bound to, that they were devoted to, that they gave their all to. And what things did they give their all to? Well, first is the apostles' teaching or doctrine. Doctrine in the original language is the same word as teaching. They didn't have separate words, and there weren't separate connotations. But they gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine. Now, you may say, well, we don't have any apostles with us today. And you're right, we don't. But we have the writings of the apostles. So they gave themselves to the Bible, the Word of God. They gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine. And doctrine in the sense that we use it today, is so important that much is said of it. In fact, when you go to what we call the pastoral epistles, those letters that Paul wrote to young pastors, the emphasis on doctrine in those letters is phenomenal. Even in the first epistle, there's a tremendous emphasis on the teachings of the Word of God, the doctrines of the Word of God. So they were devoting themselves to doctrine. And that's what we ought to do as well. After all, here's a pattern that is given to us, and we don't see it rescinded or modified elsewhere in the New Testament scriptures. They gave themselves continually to the apostles' doctrine. Secondly, they gave themselves to fellowship. Now, the word fellowship means to share what you have in common. And you may have heard the Greek term from time to time, koinonia. That's the term that's translated fellowship, but it means to share what you have in common. Now, they shared what they had in common even in terms of material things and possessions. When someone had a need, if we read on down through this text, we'd see that they even went to the point of selling possessions so that they could bring the money to the apostles and it be distributed to those in need. So there is that aspect of fellowship that today we would call giving. Is giving important to the body of Christ? Is it part of our worship? It is part of our worship that we give financially and of ourselves also, but principally in this situation, it's of material things we give. That's part of the fellowship, sharing together what we have in common. But of course, the spiritual aspect is more frequently in view, and to be quite frank, it's more important than the material aspect. They fellowshipped in the things of Christ. When they got together, they talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. Did they eat together? Well, they did, but as we saw in an earlier broadcast this week, sometimes that got them into trouble. And Paul says, if you're hungry, don't you have homes to eat in? Eat at home and then come together. So although he doesn't prohibit fellowship meals, as we would use that term today, he says normally when you're hungry, you eat at home. And certainly keep the fellowship meal and the Lord's table separate, because when you try to blend them or combine them, you've gotten into trouble. And I, by the way, I mean serious trouble. When you talk about people becoming weak and sick and dying as a result of misuse of the Lord's Supper, I call that serious trouble. So, fellowship has to do with sharing what you have in common spiritually and materially. Then a third element of worship is the breaking of bread. Now, does this refer to a fellowship meal? Well, it not really. This is a phrase, if you study this out through the book of Acts and the remainder of the New Testament, what you discover is that this is a phrase that refers to the Lord's Supper. And so they came together for the breaking of bread. For example, in Acts chapter 20, it says that on the first day of the week, when they had assembled together for the breaking of bread. Now, they weren't getting together to have a fellowship meal on the first day of the week. The purpose of their getting together was to remember the Lord through the observance of the Lord's Supper. And they kept devoting themselves to this as well. It's to the breaking of bread, not to breaking of bread. The definite article that you find here in the original text indicates that there's a special element involved here, and it refers to the observance of the Lord's Supper. So, what was included in their worship? Well, first in line is the apostles' doctrine, and then fellowship, sharing together spiritually, but also materially, what they had in common. Now, let me make an observation, and it's not original with me. I heard it from others, and I agree. It's not fellowship and then the apostles' doctrine. It's the apostles' doctrine and then fellowship. Fellowship is based on common belief, common faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't fellowship and then see if you can find teachings that you have in common. You have the truth in common, and that is the basis, the foundation for fellowship, followed by the breaking of bread. And the fourth element here is prayer. They were devoting themselves to prayer. And this is not the only place in the New Testament where believers are exhorted, yea, even commanded, to devote themselves to prayer. Prayer was a major element of the worship of the church. And so if you want to worship as God specifies in His Word, here are four elements that need to be included. Well, these are not the only elements. Singing is involved too. And we turn for this to Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, Colossians 3:16 makes it evident that singing is for the benefit of others, for the glory of God, and it is based on the word of Christ richly dwelling within us. And we are to teach and admonish. That word teach again, doctrine. We are to doctrine and warn one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, would that we had some time to go into the detail of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The point that we can make here is there are different types of music. And yes, you can use different types, but here are the three types that are specified. And beloved, we need to stick to the Word of God. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And not just borrow worldly music and put Christian words to it and think that we have done something special. The music of the world is the music of the world. And psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are the heavenly music. So let's keep that in mind. But yes, singing. And finally, we want to look at the necessity of getting together to worship. You would think that this would be obvious, but apparently even in ancient times it wasn't. Hebrews chapter 10 is where we want to conclude today. Hebrews 10 verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works or good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, I say this as a pastor. When people come together as the people of God, we encourage one another just by our presence. You don't have to always be doing something or in the spotlight. You don't have to be doing a solo or preaching or teaching or whatever. Just our presence one with another is an encouragement to each one. And I've seen this overseas as well as here at home. So the point is, we are not to forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. Some have the view that you can worship God anywhere you please all by yourself. You cannot. We need to assemble together. Our time's gone today. We trust you'll be back next time for more sound doctrine. Until then, may God keep you in His grace. Thanks for listening to Sound Doctrine today. If you want to share a question or a comment with us, that address is Sound Doctrine, 17018 Valdosta Highway, Valdosta, Georgia, 31602.